141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on a big weekend across Scottish football. Scotland have a new manager and that man is Sebastian Pocognoli, who takes over from Steve Clark. Rangers and Celtic will meet in the League Cup quarter-finals after Derek McInnes gets his first win in charge. Stenhouse Muir beat Motherwell in the shock of the weekend, whilst Hearts, Hibs, Aberdeen, Kilmarnock and Ross County complete the lineup for the last eight. I'm Gordon Duncan. And joining me tonight, you've got Andy Halliday and Roger Hannah.
Well, when we didn't have the Premiership at the weekend, we thought it might be quiet. How wrong were we? A new Scotland manager in at Hampden, as you say, Gordon. A first Rangers win as manager for Derek McInnes. A handball row as Celtic win at Tannadice. An Old Firm Cup quarter-final draw at Ibrox again. And you mentioned it, Big Marvin Stenny, the cup giant killing of the weekend.
Don't care.
I refuse to talk about that one tonight. I've got to be honest. But listen, some fantastic games. We have our quarterfinal draw. Rangers versus Celtic is mouthwatering. And like you said, brand new Scotland manager, Sebastian Pocognoli. It's got me excited.
01419511025. Give us a call. Let us know what is on your mind. It is not often that a Monday night after a bumper weekend of action, that bumper weekend of action isn't the top story, but Scotland have a new manager. Think how long it's been since we had that discussion in itself, and it's a particularly interesting period for the international team as well, given that we have now started getting to tournaments. It's not quite the way that it used to be when we went in search of a new manager, but for the first time since 2018 we're dealing with the fact that Scotland have a new men's team manager. So give us all your reaction, please. What do you make of the appointment of Sebastian Pocognoli? It is clearly a very different appointment from what we've been used to, probably what people expected. You've now heard a lot about him. We'll hear from the man himself. Is it the type of appointment that excites you? What are the positives? What are the negatives? How do you think he'll get on? What would you like to see him implement? Who would you like to see him pick for his first squads? And all that sort of stuff that gets thrown into the mix. What a big breaking news that was. Roger Hanna's paper had it on Saturday afternoon, and by last night it was official. Once we get beyond that, what a weekend and what a League Cup campaign to look forward to. Rangers and Celtic, the sides will meet in quick succession because they've got a league game coming up. They'll meet in the quarterfinals of the League Cup as well. Rangers fans, how much better was yesterday? Come on, don't waste the opportunity to come on and be happy for once, because it's been all out misery for the last few weeks. So what was better yesterday? What worked? What do you think you can now build upon going forward? How much confidence does that give you after seeing that win yesterday? And maybe you're still scarred over the last few weeks. Maybe there was still a couple of things you want to brush up on. It was an action and incident packed evening at Tannadice, so we can do all that as well. And if we must talk about any other shocks in that wee Diddy Cup at the weekend, we can do that as well, but we might run out of time. It sounds like it's busy. 01419511025. Result of the weekend, you two? Who wants me to put my fingers in my ears? You?
Well, since I'm going first, no, I'm going Ross County.
Good.
I'm going Ross County. Listen, I thought they were absolutely fantastic as well. It's got to be said. Dunfermline, a couple of great cup runs last year. They get to the Scottish Cup final. Ross County and Stuart Kitwell's men have started the season ever so well, but it was going to be a huge ask for them. Going up to the East End, and they were fantastic. They could have been 2-3 up inside 15-20 minutes. Dunfermline pegged them back to 1-1, and it looked at that moment in time that the Pars were in the ascendancy, but they get the winner in the end and thoroughly deserved.
Right, get over with, Roger. Come on, make it short and sweet.
It has to be marvellous. Marvin and his stylish Stenny heroes, Oco View, inflicting, would you believe, a first defeat in Alfred Johansson after his own great start to the season. Didn't see it coming. I mean, the only thing you can say is, gone, thank goodness you didn't go and spend your hard earned getting in.
Honestly, I really went to all sorts of lengths to get to the game yesterday, ducking and diving with childcare and logistics. I'm desperate to be there. What a regrettable decision. At least he's not here tonight. That's every cloud. What about your goal of the weekend? Can I just say, despite the fact that there weren't as many games to choose from, I think you've got a seriously high calibre in terms of the options.
We did. I actually wish that I could give some honourable mentions. There was that many good
chuck
ones.
A couple, I don't mind.
Well, Dragijevic, I hope I'm not stepping on Roger's toes, I don't actually know what he's picked yet, but Dragijevic, Nigrin, For me, I loved Alfie Bavage's goal, Inverness's second, Matto's header, Braga's finish. I mean, there were so many, but I'm going to drop down to League One and I am going to go for Kyle McDonald's second of his hat-trick. And what a goal this is. Little Cruyff turn at the edge of the box, and then it's a little dink from, listen to this, 22 yards out, I think it's pretty fair. It's a dink over the goalkeeper into the far top corner. What a goal it is.
It is outstanding, I will give you that. But you are spoiled for choice, Roger Hanna. Which one of the list have you gone for?
Noticeable mentions as well for, as you say, Negrin, and also for Ross Taylor at the Ayr on Friday night at Rugby Park. But we have to go Vanya Dragojevic. His first goal for Rangers, his first goal in Scottish football. Big day for Derek McInnes yesterday, and that was probably the highlight.
Howler of the weekend.
Well, I'm going to go for Alfred Johansson, and I do not want to take anything away from Marvin Bartley and Stenhouse Muir, because they thoroughly deserve to go through. It's a fantastic result on top of what's been a fantastic start this season. But I know sometimes try and learn your lessons. The amount of changes that Jens Bert Laskew made at Pittodrie last year, took a lot of criticism for it. And then eight changes. I get all the exploits in Europe in the start and the amount of games there's been, but eight changes and bringing in five academy players, four of them for the first start of the season, I thought was a bit too much to ask. And Stenhouse Muir ended up taking advantage, and like you said, thoroughly deserved it.
I know they won the game against St Mirren yesterday, but Manny Fernandez, again, he doesn't instill confidence in you. I thought he was lucky to escape a second yellow card when he conceded a penalty for taking down Sulla in the box. And although Rangers won the game, they've still to have a clean sheet since March, and they don't look closer to keeping a clean sheet.
And end on a positive, who was your top man of the weekend?
I'm going to go for James Penrice. You know, in the matter of 24 hours, gets his move to his boyhood club, gets flung straight in at the deep end, starts the game, and his overall contribution to the game I thought was excellent. I thought he defended well, I thought he got his goal, he got an assist, and he was involved in a couple of other goals as well, and then gets player of the match at the end of the game. So he's my performer of the weekend.
Don't say it. Don't say it, Roger.
Don't say what? I'm not giving it to Marv.
Oh, good.
Oh, not right, at all. Come on now. Fun's fun. No, it has to be Marius Müller, the Aberdeen goalkeeper.
Oh, yes.
He keeps a clean sheet. Never mind the clean sheet. What about the Rabona clearance?
At 0-0.
At 0-0.
Incredible. I need to know what's going through his head.
Absolutely fantastic. And I cannot see any
ever
more for him.
Ever seen MD Rabona a ball 40 yards or whatever it went?
Certainly not a goalie.
Why did he do that?
I text you straight away. I was watching it live, and it was almost like, nah, he never done that. I need to see that back.
Cammy Bell said the same, but he couldn't remember what the word was called, and he was just really making a mess of describing what it was.
But I mean,
remember the Columbia goalie years ago, René Higuita, doing the scorpion.
Is this our version of that?
That must be our version of Higuita's scorpion. We've got the Müller Rabona.
It's not quite
Stephen
as good,
Robson was quite kind actually with his words at the end of the game. But I just imagine if Aberdeen didn't win the game and he was asked about the Rabona,
if he made a mess,
it would have been less complimentary.
Anyway, let's dive in. We have a whole host of talking points to work our way through tonight, so let's go with the biggest of the lot, and that is that there is a new Scotland manager. It is Sebastian Pocognoli. He has been appointed. It was late-ish last night. 39-year-old Belgian. He's got a track record of leading Union Saint-Gilloise to their first Belgian title. He's managed Monaco, but obviously given his age, he's not a vastly experienced manager. He's not Scottish either, in case you hadn't noticed, and that might be why it all adds up to being such an interesting appointment, shall we say. Let's bring in Thomas, who was first through on the phones, to get his reaction to that. Hi, Thomas.
Evening, Gordon, Andy, Roger, how are we?
Good, thank you. Thomas.
So in terms of my reaction to the appointment of Sebastian Pocognoli, I think it's kind of twofold, because I personally am of an opinion that I would rather that the manager of any given national team be from the country of that national team. And you know, so I think that would be the ideal situation. But looking at the Scottish coaches that were available, I don't think there was really an outstanding candidate. And so I think, given that the SFA are able to look further afield and don't have to limit themselves to Scottish coaches, looking further into Sebastian Pocognoli and his teams that he's managed when he managed Union Saint-Gilloise and Monaco and the style of play and such, I think it's very much sort of all the things that Steve Clark got criticised for not being, from what I've read and seen, although I've not personally seen a lot of his teams, but I've obviously seen a lot of analysis since he's been announced, from what I've seen, it seems like everything that Steve Clark was criticised for not being, this guy seems to be. And so it's definitely, it's a left field appointment, but I think my overarching emotion about it is definitely sort of, is definitely excitement.
Andy, what's your reaction?
I'm excited by it. You know, I'm of the mindset, if you're good enough for Jamestown Analytics, you're good enough for me. And you mentioned that title he won at Union Saint-Gilloise. You know, it was the first title for Union Saint-Gilloise in 90 years. He has a very progressive, exciting brand of football. He then goes to Monaco, and you see that he gets sacked from Monaco. It might raise a few eyebrows, but he finished fourth in Ligue 1. You know, it wasn't a disaster by any stretch of the imagination, but there's no doubt whatsoever that he's replacing arguably the most successful Scotland manager ever. You know, three major tournaments in the last four. Over the span of 7 years, he had major progression with the Scotland national team. But that being said, I think the criticism towards Steve Clark has been our performances in that major tournament. You know, how many times did we hear that phrase, felt as if Scotland played with a handbrake off on. And by all accounts, it seems as if Paul Gagnon is a really progressive modern day coach who wants to bring an attacking, exciting brand of football. So it'll be interesting to see how that translates with the current squad. How many changes will there potentially be? But he's straight in amongst it. There's, with what is it, four games in the space of 3 weeks and just under a month's time. So really looking forward to it.
Well, it's fresh and it's new and it's exciting. He deserves our positivity today on day one. There'll be plenty of time for negativity if things go wrong in the Nations League campaign. But for now, you have to applaud the SFA for looking outside the box a bit and going and getting somebody a bit different. And it's now up to Sebastian Pocognoli, who he picks, how he fields the team, what they look like. Craig Mulholland spoke last night in the SFA media release about Scotland playing front foot football. So we'll soon find out if we've got the players to do that or whether this squad of players reached their ceiling under Steve Clark.
I think what's so interesting about it, Andy, and Thomas used a really good phrase there about on paper, he looks like he'll be a lot of the things that Steve Clark wasn't. Given that we've made it to three tournaments out the last four, though, he might also have to be many of the things that Steve Clark was. Absolutely. And I know that's hard for people to get their head round on the back of a World Cup that was really disappointing, but he's going to need to harness the bit that got us there, as well as finding the next bit that helps you progress. So that sounds like quite a challenge.
Yeah, and we spoke so much about this club culture feeling that Steve Clark had built up. And what's sometimes the biggest thing that can fracture that is somebody new at the helm. So it'll be interesting to see how we can potentially continue that. But like he says, the progress and the praise that we gave Steve Clark for getting to that major tournaments, you know, the job that Sebastian Pocognoli has got in his hand is to make sure we continue to get major tournaments, and then can we progress from there on in. But there's no doubt whatsoever it's a difficult job. You know, I hear a lot of people already with the murmurs, you know, how many players are going to make a change within the squad, and people are speculating 8, 9, 10 changes. I don't think it will be the case. You know, I think you might see 3 or 4 introduced, some of them potentially forced given how the players are getting on in their domestic teams. But that being said, he'll have a job in his hand, but I'm genuinely excited with the appointment.
You were in the camp, Gordon. You had the privilege of being with the squad in the USA in the summer. I personally think Steve Clark gets a bit of a bad rap. I think the draw was unkind to Scotland in the summer. Brazil and Morocco are two of the top 7 teams in the world. Is some of the criticism levelled at Steve Clark unfair? Was it an unhappy camp?
Oh, no, far from it. I think just the results obviously didn't go the way, yeah, you know, anyone would have wanted to. But that's going to be that balancing act, isn't it? It's going to be taking it to the next level. If people felt that there was a tactical level missing and that's why we didn't succeed, then fine, hopefully this guy brings it. But it can't be at the detriment of all the stuff that got you there in the first place, obviously.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Thomas, what do you think about the change in style and how you think that maybe translates? Because whether it's Scotland or anybody else, international football's harder to do that. You don't have pre-season, you don't have day in, day out, you know, training sessions and video analysis. You might get the players for a couple of days at a time. Do you think we can do this?
Well, like you say, it is going to be harder than at club level, but for this sort of thing, you've got to trust. I know that Scottish football fans don't really do this very well, but you've got to trust the people that put them in that role. They obviously think that he's a good enough coach to be able to implement his style of play within this squad, given the constraints of international football. And I think it was Andy mentioned about the potential for change within the squad, and he doesn't think there's going to be a great deal of change. I would agree with that sort of immediately speaking, but I think if you look at the squad that took us to the World Cup and the squad that we were selected for the World Cup, a lot of those players maybe have one more tournament left in them and are sort of getting towards aging out of international football, not quite there yet, but getting there. So I think we're getting towards a crossroads of having to introduce sort of new blood within the squad, and I think now is a good time, and this is why I think it was probably a good time for Steve Clarke to leave, and it's a good time for the SFA to show that they are willing to think outside the box, and hopefully then that the manager is willing to think outside the box and bring through, you know, that next generation. I know he spoke about that in his press conference. So, like I say, there's plenty to be excited about, I think.
Thank you very much to Thomas. Chris is on the other line. Chris, how do you rate this as an appointment then?
I think it's a good appointment. I mean, he's a young, progressive manager. And I think, I mean, I'm hearing a lot of murmurs of, well, he's not Scottish. I think any Scotland football fan like myself or you guys, it doesn't matter whether he's French, German, Spanish, Belgian, whatever. Whoever's in charge of Scotland, we should be getting behind. And one of the things he did see in his press conference, because I had a wee listen to it earlier on, was he wants to blood younger players. I want to see guys like Kevin Nisbet, who's banging the goals in at Aberdeen, back in the team. I want to see guys like Bowie in the team. But what he has to do, first of all, is he's got to build round the sort of nucleus of our team, which is McGinn, McTominay, Robertson. That's your three stars, and he's got to sort of build round them as much as he possibly can. I think the good thing is we do have these Nations League games, and yes, I know it's a backdoor into the European Championships in 2028. However, he should be trying to use these as a way of trying to get us... what's the word I'm looking for? He should be trying to get us to use these games to see what his best formation is if we can't win them. And then, obviously, looking at the European Championships qualifying that will be starting in March. Do you know what I mean? Because we do have players that... There will be changes, and I hope that we see a lot of changes that work out well for us.
What about that? The kind of biggest issue that you get to first before you look at anything else? He's not Scottish. Chris doesn't care. Does that bother any of you two?
Well, I don't know what Roger thinks. First and foremost, I think you always go for the best in class. But that being said, if you have two managers that are pretty similar in terms of their CV and how you reckon they're doing the job, I would always prefer the Scottish manager, no doubt whatsoever. But I completely agree with, I think it was Thomas, the first caller says, when you look at the candidates available that are Scottish and realistic, it's got to be said, other than a John McGlynn whose name was floating about, I don't really see many that get you really, really excited. I think Davy Moyes is obviously one of them, but never felt at any point that was realistic given the contract he'll be on at Everton in the English Premier League. So for me, I then agree with Chris. You then go to who's the best in class that's available. In Scotland, have obviously, they said they casted their fishnet further than usual. They would have interviewed plenty candidates, and they've came up with the name Sebastian Pogonoli. And when you see, you know, at the age of 39, he's not got vast experience as a manager, but what he has managed is two progressive, successful clubs in recent history, and he's now got a fantastic opportunity with Scotland.
The non-Scottish issue for you, Roger, is there one?
Listen, I just watched a World Cup through the summer where England were managed by a German, Portugal were managed by a Spaniard, the USA were managed by an Argentinian, and even Brazil were managed by an Italian. So I think those days have probably gone. When Steve left the job, we had people phoning this show in the summer saying, go and get Ange Postecoglou. The last time I checked, he isn't a Scot. So I think, you know, I understand the patriotic among the Tartan Army would love a Scot, but if the SFA thinks Sebastian Pogonoli is better than any available Scotsman, they have to go for him.
Mick Pogonoli sounds better as well, doesn't it?
Mick, yeah. We'll go for that. Just bring him home, put a kilt on it, as they say. Chris, just on paper, even just we don't know how he pans out, but see just the fact that it is a bit different, it is a bit left field, it's not one of the sort of predictable names. Do you think that's the bit that's appealing to people? Because they just feared that it would be something a bit dull.
I mean, at the end of the day, as I say, I've watched a couple of his interviews, And you know, he wants to play attacking football, and he wants us obviously to defend well. But you know, you don't obviously want to change too much. I mean, as we've seen at club level, when a manager comes in and changes everything, and sometimes it doesn't go quite right. But you know, I'm always prepared to give the manager, you know, a chance. I think it could be a success, and I hope he is a success, and I'll obviously be right behind him.
Mm-hmm. And then eventually, Roger, the reality will set in, and you realise that you can make a couple of tweaks to the squad, probably, but we don't have hundreds of, you know. And Chris says, I'm being a bit unfair, and Chris, I'm not saying he meant that Kevin Nisbet was young, but he's saying, I hear he's going to build young players, and I'd like to see Kevin Nisbet brought in. Kevin Nisbet's 29. Kevin Nisbet is scoring goals at the moment, and hats off to him. But he's also had loads of time to show that he could be an international striker. If Sebastian Pognoli wants to play this quick, fast football, well, he might find that there's not a lot of pace in the Scotland squad, yeah, and not a lot of pace in the players that have been left out of the Scotland squad. So, you know, some of the challenges are still going to be there, just because you've got a different philosophy.
Correct. And the one thing offered to Sebastian Pognoli in abundance will be advice. You know, there's Chris talking about a front line of Kevin Nisbet and Kieran Bowie. I did the Go Ballistic show with Chris Boyd this morning. He's talking about a front line of Robbie Ure and Ollie McBurney. Steve Clark had 5 strikers at the World Cup, and none of them were those 4. So there'll be plenty of people with lots of different opinions. There will be people who will want loads of kids in. There will be people who will want the old guard to be retained for maybe this tournament. You know, if as Chris says, a lot of these guys maybe have one more tournament in them. So it's a big task for Pognoli to cut his way through all that. I think of the 26 that went to America with you, Gordon, only Craig Gordon is unavailable now, having retired. What does he do with goalkeepers? You know, Andy's pal Liam Kelly doesn't play very often. Steve Clark was okay with that, but does Pognoli want 3 keepers who are playing regularly and can...
I don't know where he will find them.
Well, there you go. You know, people will say to you, maybe, John Souter's not played since the end of last mm-hmm. season. Grant Hanley's hardly kicked a ball for Hibs this season. But if you leave the 2 of them out, where's the next generation of centre-halves coming from?
That's 2 excited callers so far. Is everyone on that same page, or anyone got doubts out there? Do share them either way, and we'll speak to you next.
Taking your calls until 8. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hannah and Andy Halliday are here. Let's hear from Scotland's new manager, Sebastian Pognoli. He claims the passion of Scottish football is an ideal fit for his attacking philosophy.
Very proud, very exciting, and I know and I feel the big challenge is in front of me, and I will do my best to bring my ideas and my personality through this challenge. What was for me very important to make this decision to become the coach of Scotland is just to see if my personality and my football vision was in the same direction. We are on the same line, I think, in terms of personality and the human aspect. I represent a passionate country, with also one of the reflections of my personality. So I think all is there to make a good fit, but need now to work hard and to prepare the futures. To keep also a stronger foundation was built in the past. When you think about Scotland, is passionate players who fight together, who defend together, who want to help the teammates, and that I think it was the DNA from the team the last years. And what I will try to do is, and we have the capacity to do this, is to maybe defend from fit, be a little bit more aggressive forward, and try to have a good football moment on the pitch. I'm quite direct in terms of football, and try to be aggressive and try to dominate. It will be, like I said, sharing the heritage, so you will not have a totally straight different direction, but we will try to just point what we can improve and what we need for what I want to produce on the pitch. And what I can say is that I will pick the players who can pass in my philosophy, and it doesn't matter where you play or who you are, you have to show the desire and and passed in the philosophy that I want to bring on the pitch. But like I said, we have all the quality already in the squad to do this.
Simon's on the line. Are you happy with this appointment, Simon?
Hi guys, how's you doing? Hope you're well. Yeah, I've got a couple of points, one in Scotland and one in Ayrshire Derby. Sorry, Roger, if you don't mind. I'll go to Scotland first, if that's all right. Yeah, happy with the appointment. I think it's a really brave appointment by the SFA. It's not exactly what the SFA is known for. You know, people kind of talk it down and say it's kind of they'll always go for safe options sort of thing. It's a gamble, but I think it's a exciting gamble. Listening to him, he comes across really well. Doing obviously research as you would do about his style of play and stuff, and I think they were saying at Union Saint-Gilloise it was, and Andy will maybe know about the style a bit better than me, but it's vertical tiki-taka, it's called, where you keep the ball, keep a lot of bit keeping possession, but then not being afraid, using the possession to pull players out of positions and then going in behind and getting crosses into the box. So it's not just that kind of sort of total football. You've got that ability to go long and go direct if you need to. So I think that's quite exciting. It probably fits in with quite a lot of the players we have as well. And yeah, it's been nice to see the SFA using data and looking at some different things rather than just who's doing well in Scotland or who's Scottish and is the best manager available. I think it's a refreshing change.
Let's pick up on that, because that clearly is, in fact, the man himself spoke about it, Roger Hanna. You can almost chart what's happened here. The National Association it's changed. It's not just Steve Clark. You look at Craig Mulholland's coming as the Chief Football Officer, I think is the title. One of his first acts is to thank Scott Gemmell for his service. So the under 21 position becomes vacant as well.
And Brian McLaughlin's gone too.
Absolutely. Yep. And Simon's right, and I referenced it there. The manager himself spoke about this is data driven, maybe not data dictated, but certainly data driven. Yeah. The way a lot of clubs do now, there's no way somebody's just, they haven't just got around the table and went, I know who'll be good. You ever heard of Sebastian Pocognoli? And they just phone him. You know, there's a process that leads up to this. And I think that is the bit that's kind of capturing the imagination
I'm only giving you positivity tonight. Before Simon is a pop at me about the Ayrshire Derby, I just want to say, I'm sure Simon phoned this show and said similar things when Steve Clark was replaced by Angelo Alessio, and look how that went. So they are thinking out the box. I like the positivity. I like to listen to Sebastian Pocognoli. I agree with Simon. The vertical tiki-taka, it sounds great. It sounds a different style of football that the Tartan Army has been used to under Steve for the last 7 years. But as you say, Gordon, we're about to find out if we've got the players to implement the system and the style that Sebastian Pocognoli is preaching.
You're the tactics head. Have you heard of vertical tiki-taka? Does it excite you?
From playing Football Manager?
Can Scotland do it?
VTT, he calls it.
Can Scotland do it? And what generally do you think about this notion of, you know, really kind of radically changing the style? Because we talk about it at club level all the time, but we mentioned it earlier, there's obvious differences. You don't have the players every day. You don't have a pre-season. And the biggest one, in case you had forgotten, you can't sign anybody to suit your style. You need to pick from what's already there. Think that can all be implemented?
I think it can. I think we'll see change initially, without, you know, stating the obvious, I don't think it'll be perfect initially, but I think we'll see very early on from the first game. I think we'll see something that's clearly been worked on within the first 3-4 mm-hmm. days, loads of analysis. But my concerns are, and Roger touched on it slightly earlier, I think any manager that plays this brand of football and has an emphasis a building out for the back, and you're playing against nations that ultimately are going to be pressing you high up the pitch, there could be man-for-man approach. I always feel like, arguably, your most comfortable player, the most important player in your build-up, is your goalkeeper, because quite often they're your plus one, they're your spare player. Now, I look at the group of goalies we've got. For me, best of his feet's probably Liam Kelly. I don't know the stats, but I'd imagine he's played less than a handful of games in 2-3 seasons. Scott Bain's probably your next one. And again, is he brilliant at it? I'm not too sure, but he's certainly good at it. Whereas Angus Gunn, who's currently our number one goalkeeper, I don't know how comfortable he is to play that style and brand of football. Now, Sebastian Mick Pocognoli, we'll find out pretty quickly, the players, because he mentioned there that the players ultimately have to fit his philosophy. So it'll be interesting to see how that dynamic changes.
How much might he have to adapt, though? Because again, so you've highlighted some really key areas, but you might go further. What if this philosophy is built on having really quick strikers? Well, we don't really have any of those. You know, you can't
Ollie Buck from out the cold.
You know what I mean? You can't just magically address that the way you can in club football, and you can chip away at it window by window, you know, and bring in players to suit that.
I think it's much easier to adapt in the forward areas, because not only if you're just relying on sheer pace, you can also then look at, you know, movement and dynamic movement to pull people out of position to get people. You don't have to be lightning quick, but certainly for that goalkeeping position, ultimately if somebody's not comfortable playing that style of football as a goalkeeper, you can't do it. So for me, that's the real problematic position I think he's got to deal with initially.
Any of those concerns worry you, Simon?
Yeah, a wee bit. I understand where he's coming from. I think that he's obviously good enough. He wouldn't have taken the job if he didn't think there was somebody out there that could, you know, start that press and start that passing. I think that it'll be interesting to see where he goes from it. I don't think Angus Gunn's the worst with the bottle's feet, and a lot of it's to do with, as Andy will know, a lot of it's to do with the movement of your players making room for and being able to make that pass a little bit easier for your teammates. We saw that, Kelly saw that against Celtic, where Max Strajek's not bad with the ball at his feet, but, you know, he made a terrible mistake. But a lot of it is down to, you know, the movement of our players and defenders and midfielders coming deep was really, really poor. But yeah, I think it's exciting. I think there are concerns, obviously. It's going to take a little while to click. It's not going to be something that happens overnight. I think we're kind of lucky. I wonder if the gamble was made a little bit more because of the Euros being held here, and there have been two sort of spaces that are almost reserved, you know, playoff spaces that are reserved for people who don't qualify. You know, that's, it seems like it'd be hard to imagine Scotland, Wales, England, the Republic of Ireland, Northern Ireland, you know, all of those countries not qualifying, do you know what I mean? So there's kind of a bit of a safety net there. So I wonder if we've decided to take this gamble, the Nations League's there, and we can implement our style there going into the qualifiers, knowing that if it doesn't, you know, click perfectly, you know, there's that safety net.
I was interested as well, Simon, just the point you make there about the next tournament. It's only a 2-year contract. Steve Clarke signed a 4-year contract before the World Cup final that was going to see him through to the next World Cup. I'd have been interested to hear, you know, how it came to be a 2-year contract. Well, the SFA just want to have a little look at Sebastian, and Sebastian wants to have a little look at the SFA and the players who are available to him.
I think that stuff is as important as we make it out, though, because Steve Clarke, you're right, did sign a 4-year, and he also left straight after. So, you know, yeah.
No, just interested me. I don't think it's a huge thing either. And also,
what
also
makes
it quite interesting.
What makes it interesting for me is more so for Sebastian Pogognoli's side, because if you look at his CV, his coaching CV, he spent a year at Belgium under-18s, he spent a year at USG, and he spent a year at Monaco. So sometimes, now I get, you know, Monaco have came in for you, you've got your move, you meet. But sometimes you look at Antonio Conte, very rarely stays at a football club for longer than 2-3 seasons. So sometimes you get these type of managers that want smaller contracts.
Simon, I'm pretty late for the break, but if you want one Ayrshire derby dig, make it snappy.
just delighted with the result, delighted with I thought we deserved to win the game, you know, complete control. Ayr decided to come and just, you know, hitting the counter. I think that was a mistake, to be honest with you. I think if they'd properly went for our throat, they could have got more than the two goals they did because of our defensive frailties. But yeah, it was just nice to be at a derby game where, you know, I got the train down from Glasgow, quite a lot of Kelly fans and Ayr fans in the city. You know, it was a mixed train going down. You're able to sit in the pub with them, have a chat to them after the game. You know, the two sets of fans merging into the streets together, no trouble, people chatting away. On the train home, everybody having a bit of a discussion about the game. No drama, but for that 90 minutes, you know, sort of we hate each other. But after that, it's just, you know, a bit of respect between the two. We've got a good record against Aberdeen at home, so hoping that continues. A great chance to get to Hampden. We obviously, one of Rangers and Celtic going to go out as well. So yeah, just, I think we deserved it. We deserved to go through in the end. Some great goals in that game. It was a really great advert for Ayrshire football as well. We have such a big crowd, and yet I hope Ayr get up to the Premiership one time, because it'd be nice to have 3-4 derbies a season in the Premiership. But as long as they get relegated straight away again,
to finish on a high, if you like, just don't ask Neil McCann about shipping goals in cup games. That won't end well. Let me tell you about this before we move on.
Clyde One.
Craig's life was changed on Friday because we paid £600,000 out to him, and we're not stopping there. Full steam ahead on Make Me a Winner with a whopping £650,000 to be won this weekend. Text YES to 61025, and if you do that, you get 2 for 1 on your first entry. The texts are £250 plus your standard network rate. You can also enter at makemeawinner.co.uk, where you'll find all the phone entry details and the rules for this network competition. It's over 18s only. Lines close 5 p.m. Friday, so text YES to 61025.
Talking football, 6 until 8, 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Roger Hannah are here. They've been reacting to Scotland's new manager. We've heard from him. We've heard a lot of positive feedback. It's not often things Scotland related or decisions that the National Association makes get met with widespread positivity. We're here till 8, so there's still room for somebody to phone in and say they think it's a terrible appointment. But for now, let's look at the club side of things with Alan, who's on the line. Hi, Alan.
Good evening, panel. How are you?
Good, Alan. What are you thinking tonight?
Good. Oh, I'm going to have a wee go at Andy.
Oh, good. That's what I like.
Good. Listen to his comments last week about bringing back James Tavernier, who I liked as a player, but we've got to move on for that. And when does it become, you become a pundit that players aren't good enough to play for Rangers? And by the way, I'm going to contradict myself here. I don't think Cammy Devlin is a Rangers class player, but I think Andy and Cammy have followed similar career paths. So was Andy good enough to play for Rangers?
Yes, give it to him. Two-footed Alan, which one do you want to address first?
Whatever you want. Well, listen, Alan, plenty of people didn't think I was good enough to play for Rangers, and at no point did I get upset. That's why everybody's entitled to their opinion. And again, to reference the Cammy Devlin signing, for me, no issue with the Cammy Devlin signing whatsoever. You know, Derek was really try to focus on a certain type of player to bring into the football club. He wanted characters. He knows them extremely well. Great trainer, great boys. Brought him in a free transfer. My statement was, I don't think he's good enough to be a regular starter for Rangers. And
which Alan agrees with.
Which ultimately, Alan, you agree with. And after 2-3 games, he's obviously now out the team, so it doesn't look as if he's going to be a regular starter. Could be a squad player, which I have absolutely no doubt with whatsoever. But I think Rangers need, still, to be honest with you, a different type of profile of midfielder in that position, especially when you're playing with a midfield two. I thought the balance of the midfield was a lot better yesterday with the three. I thought Dragojevic was impressive. I thought Chukwuanyi was impressive in the second half. Again, I still don't think Nico Rassin's a number six. I'll say that for as long as I watch him play that position. But no doubt whatsoever for me, I thought the midfield yesterday looked a lot better as a three.
Alan, you still with us?
I totally agree. And I actually was on a week pass. Yes, hello?
Yeah, on you go, sorry, Alan. Hello? Carry on. Yep, you're good.
Hello?
Oh, there's a delay in Falkirk. Let's get Alan's line cleared up a wee second there, because I think he's going to hear me a couple of seconds delay, so we'll just stay with it. Go on. I'd forgotten about this. There's so much happened. European games, transfers, Scotland manager, League Cup. You've been having some time about the James Tavernier one.
I know.
Is this the first like welcome to punditry?
No, absolutely not. Kinda. Absolutely not. And listen, I will say many things that won't be popular, but I'm absolutely fine with that. Everybody's entitled to that.
You genuinely think they should re-sign him though?
Yes.
Versus would he get a game? I think those are two different discussions.
Yeah, because I said at the point in time of the summer, for me, it was the right time for James Tavernier to move on for Rangers. I felt Rangers would recruit a lot of players over the summer and looking to upgrade what they had. And I thought at that moment in time, I didn't see James Tavernier being a consistent starter for Rangers going into the next season. But for me, James Tavernier would be Rangers' best right back.
But is it not a backward step, B, revisiting what was clearly a messy exit with involving people that are still at the club? Maybe not Danny Rule, but the people higher up who make those decisions.
Yeah.
Taking all that into account, I think it really looks good.
Yeah, I think, due to the way he left the football club, I'd imagine that James Tavernier's grudges would be with Danny Rule more so than the people above. I don't think this will happen, Gordon. I don't think that Rangers will go down this road. But when they still have 3-4 players to sign and they have to be upgrades on what they already have, and they've already spent a lot of money. So it'll be interesting to see how much more money Andrew Kavanagh is willing to part ways with. I think an easy one is a guy that's not got a club at this moment in time, and you offer him significantly less money than it was on last year, and you try and get it done. But like I said, I don't see it happening.
No, it won't happen. Partly down to what you described, there is the messy exit, and not really because of James Tavernier's view, but the view of people still at Ibrox on the way it ended. So,
because I know Andy says it with Danny Rowe, but I don't think Andrew Kavanagh's too impressed with that situation.
There are other people there. Listen, it won't happen. What I'm interested in is where he does play next, because I thought he met with a club by now.
Alan, I think we've got you back. Carry on.
Hello, yes, no, I totally agree with Andy in that point. The midfield was better yesterday, and I made a point. I came on a week passing Friday, and I said a week passing Friday about the club captaincy. And that's five games Rangers have played, and Lawrence Shanklin's been benched twice, I believe. That's no a good look for a club captain. I don't know why Derek McInnes gave him the club captaincy as well, because it's pretty obvious, I think, he's not going to play every game.
Fair enough. Thank you very much to Alan and Falkirk. We are fast approaching the news, but I do think we can squeeze one more in. Let's go Craig in Livingston, who's been hanging on the longest. Take it away, Craig.
Hiya, guys. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Hi, Craig.
I'm good. So I'm going to say a point that might be a bit too sensible for Scottish football for our fans, but I think we all complain at every club about inconsistencies of decisions, and we're all in agreement that our clubs get them, and some of them are baffling. But I think a lot of the blame does go down to the fans as well, because, for example, if Rangers get a decision that's a baffling decision, all Rangers fans will be out there saying, it was the right decision, even if they know it's wrong. And then same on the other end with Celtic and every other club. I think there's a point where we need to realise that the only way that we're going to see change and see improvement is if we use a bit of common sense and all of us actually get together when there is a really bad decision and everyone's unanimous to say, like, that was a bad decision, rather than just sticking with the team's bias. Like, the other day, the situation with the handball situation with the goal, the description I heard on the show was something along the lines of it was like a normal body movement for someone that's sliding down, so it's hit the guy's hand. But then you look at the situation that we did have around that controversial penalty with the Motherwell player last season. Now, I think the reason why that Motherwell's player's hand was where it was is because he jumps up before Trusty. Trusty then jumps up. You watch Trusty's shoulder then goes into the bottom of that player's upper arm, and Trusty keeps travelling up. So he can't physically move his arm anywhere at that point. It's been forced up by Trusty, and the way Trusty is on the underneath him, his arm's locked in that position. He can't move his arm down the way to move it out the way. So if that one the other day was down to a natural position because of a challenge from an opposition player, then that one should have been the exact same. And that's just one example of two decisions where Willie Collins came out and says it's a right decision because of this reason, but they just contradict each other. Now, rather than Celtic fans saying, for example, oh, it definitely was the right decision because it's their team, or other fans saying it definitely wasn't because they don't like Celtic, if we just all stuck together and actually said these decisions are a bit ridiculous, then the SFA might actually feel as if they need to do something a bit more to get the standard of refereeing a bit higher in the league.
See, before we talk about the individual incidents that Craig's referring to, though, I think Craig has simultaneously raised a really good point about trying to get inconsistency and also exposed the flaws within that notion, right? Because he has compared two entirely different incidents, right? They are, whatever you think of them, right, wrong, wrong, right, both wrong, two entirely different incidents, yeah. Right? And secondly, Craig says, I mean, for the ones that we all say, you know, we're unanimous, they're not unanimous. That is the point. People, and I can't believe we're going back to that one at Fir Park, people think it's a handball, and many other people don't think it's a handball. Yeah. Similarly, with the one he's referring to at Tannadice at the weekend, so Craig is right, but unanimous doesn't usually exist, so therefore then the full theory is sort of falls down, does it not?
Yeah, if we all agreed and everything, then we'd have to stop this show.
But on a more serious point about how you actually strive for that consent, I don't think you do that by comparing two incidents that aren't the same.
No,
or by pretending that there is a unanimous view out there.
One of them is an attacking phase of play and one of them is a defensive phase.
No, but it's still a punishable handball, so I don't think that.
When Craig started there, I thought he was going to compare the Casper Hu win at the weekend to the Falkirk win in the first day of the Premiership season. More comparable. I know Willie Collin doesn't think they are comparable. I do think they're comparable. And let's deal with the elephant in the room. It was a goal for Celtic. If you look at the law, it was the referee in the VAR.
It's the right call.
It's the right call. What I don't think is the right call is the one at Falkirk on the first day of the season. They've got that wrong.
And then, Andy, when you're talking about consistency, what we need to wait and find out, see if Willie Collum or the Scottish FA or whatever, see if they think the Falkirk decision is wrong, because they might think it's wrong. And then that sort of changes the discussion around the Casper Hu one. I'm now 3 minutes late for the break, but it is important. Casper Hu, should the goal have stood?
I think the goal should have stood, but similar to what Roger says in terms of the contrast for Falkirk the week before and the Celtic one, I find it very difficult to see.
And why do you think the goal should stand? Because I mean, it clearly hits his hand. It hits his hand, yeah, undoubtedly. The ball goes in the net
and
soon
again,
after off Chirán.
I say this 100 times, Gordon, like, I can understand why people think it shouldn't count, because when you see an arm up like that and you hit it, and it deviates towards a defender and an attacker going the same ball, it eventually gets put in the net. But again, if that's Casper Hu and it hits his hand and Casper Hu puts it in the back of the net, it's disallowed. We've seen that multiple times.
Like automatic.
Automatic. But for me, my issue was the fact that the Falkirk one the week before is disallowed and that one's allowed to stand. I think it's brilliant that Willie Combs came out in the Dundee United one, being really transparent at half time. And I don't think we'd be having this much debate about this one if we got the same type of feedback after the Falkirk one straight away. Initially, he felt that should stand, but it remains to be seen whether he thinks that's the case.
And that's what I'm saying, because if that one at Falkirk, if that goes down as a mistake, I don't know yet, then you don't want to repeat the mistake every week, do you?
Exactly. But again, we obviously don't know if he feels like the Falkirk
one.
If
they stand by that, then
exactly,
an issue with consistency. Okay, thank you very much to Craig. We're very late for this, but I'm sure we can pull it off.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on, Beat the Pundit time. 01419511025. The lines usually close at 7, which is in like 40 seconds time. Let's close the lines at the end of this break.
Taking your calls 7 days a week. Weeknights, Saturdays and Sundays 4 till 7. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna are here if you're just catching up. We reflected on Scotland's new manager. Widespread positivity in the phones, I'll have you know. If there's anyone else who wants to offer a different take on that, you're more than welcome. It's Monday night, that means referees, and we did a bit of that before the news. Both of these guys think Casper Hu's goal should have stood and was right to stand, but they do have question marks over the consistencies going forward. If you want to wade in, please do. And we've not even really reacted to the action overall at the weekend. Rangers fans, you finally got a win under Derek McInnes. How much better do you feel? What were the signs of positivity? What are the things you think you can build on? How much more confident are you now going forward that you've seen a win and a convincing one at that? There was loads to look back on yesterday. I heard that there was some sort of cup shock somewhere in the rough Larbert area. If you need to talk about that, you can do, but let's play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. Andy and Roger tend to win, but you never know. They both start at -1, so hopefully we can topple them tonight with Paul from East Kilbride. Hi, Paul.
10.
Have you played before, Paul?
I've not played Beat the Pundit, no, I've not.
I like it. And you just decided, because you're some sort of glutton for punishment, to phone up on the hardest night.
Yeah, to be honest, I was hoping for Simon Donnelly.
Not to be found on a Monday, but you two, let's see what you're capable of. If it is the blue side of the coin, it's Andy Halliday, and the red side is Roger Hanna, and it is red for Roger.
Good luck, Paul.
Is going to take on Roger Hanna. 30 seconds, Paul. Answer as many as you can. Pass if you do not know the answer. Okay?
Thank you.
Right, 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. Name the last English club Sebastian Pocognoli played for.
Pass.
Who scored a double for St Mirren against Celtic in last season's League Cup final?
No idea.
Rangers played their last European final in which city?
Seville.
Which Bournemouth player started his career at Inverness?
Pass.
Who plays at Clifton Hill?
Clyde.
What animal is Falkirk's mascot?
Bear.
Okay, let's bring him back. Andy Halliday, can you hear us? Is it Roger Hannah? Can't even remember which one of you it is. It's Roger.
It's me.
Good. What are you getting there?
I think it was David Essex.
I didn't know that song.
We're going well back, 1970s.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, well, back. I never knew
it. It's well up your street, isn't it?
Not especially.
We've not, do you know what I've not
I'm
done?
I'm more a kid of the 80s.
We've not played Roger's karaoke clip in a while, but
no,
apparently,
I can't say too much,
but there are rumours.
All I will say.
There are rumours that somebody else in the Clyde One Super Scoreboard team disgraced themselves on karaoke recently.
All I'll say to Andy is Tony Orlando has slipped to number two.
We'll
on the Clyde chance.
We'll see. Anyway,
we get a chance to hear number one then?
I think maybe at some point. Maybe we wait to said person's back on.
Yes.
Anyway, 30 seconds on the clock. Your time starts now. Name the last English club Sebastian Pocagnoli played for.
Brighton.
Who scored a double for St Mirren against Celtic in the League Cup final last season?
Jonah Junger.
Rangers played their last European final in which city?
Seville.
Which Bournemouth player started his career at Inverness?
Ryan Christie.
Who plays at Clifton Hill?
Albion Rovers.
What animal is Falkirk's mascot?
He is a dog.
Which Prime Minister presented Celtic with the 1988 Scottish Cup?
Margaret Thatcher.
It's a name you don't hear too often on the answers to beat.
I still can't think of that mascot.
I wouldn't have known it either, but I just something
don't know if it's
funny
a
about
dunk.
The way he went about it. Paul, have you done enough?
Absolutely not.
Why did you have to think about that then? Oh. Anyway, let's go through them and find out. Name the last English club Sebastian Pocagnoli played for. Brighton. Correct. On loan from
West Brom.
West Brom 1-0. Well, no, that's Roger Hannah's minus one wiped out, so we are level. Who scored a double for St Mirren against Celtic in last season's League Cup final? Paul's tried to forget about it, understandably, as a Celtic fan. It was Jonah Ayunga. Roger goes 1-0 in front. You both knew Seville, so we stay level. Which Bournemouth player started his career at Inverness? It was Ryan Christie, Paul. I thought you might have got that, but Roger Hannah has pipped you to it. Clifton Hill again, Paul sort of knew, vague Lanarkshire-ish mention for Clyde, but it was Albion Rovers, so Roger stretches his lead. Falkirk's mascot is not a dog, it's a fox.
No, I've been here all night.
It's
coming
Fergus the Fox.
Fergus the Fox. Mm. Is that the one the producer John goes into the suit on the Saturday?
I think he does. Mm-hmm. Aye, I think so.
The way he dresses on a Monday
is anyway, so that's a draw.
Yeah, we do need to probably up his minus, but he is still on minus one. And you're right, it was Margaret Thatcher who presented Celtic with the 1988 Scottish Cup. So there we go. I'm afraid the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, a 6 for Roger, minus his 1. It was a 5-2 in there. You. Was it a 5-1 actually?
No, 5-2.
Don't try and take it. Oh, it was 5-1. I've had confirmation. Anyway, who's your team, Paul?
I'm a Celtic man.
I said that earlier, didn't I? Happy with the weekend?
Okay, yeah, happy with the weekend. Obviously, I spoke to you a while back about Eddie Howe. You famously called him Eddie Horn. So I was just wondering about what your thoughts were there, that the fact that he's left, because I was kind of laughed at the studio the last time about him becoming the next Celtic manager, but he's away now. So
what?
So just the fact that obviously Martin O'Neill with a bit of ill health.
Martin's got a 1-year contract, you mean, and they could be looking for somebody next summer.
Well, that was a point I was trying to make. Do you know what I mean? I thought Eddie Howe might have been a good one, and to be honest, at the time, and I think it was a Dazzler, and I think it was Scott Allen at the time said, "Oh, there's no chance of that. If he's going to Newcastle," but. Obviously he's away. Literally, we would love Martin Neal to stay forever and ever. But
Paul, I must admit, right, they beat the pundit didn't go to plan. But I love the way Paul's taking advantage of circumstances here, because I won't stick up for the Dazzler very often, but I'm pretty sure that would have been around the context of the fact that he was at Newcastle at the time and in contract. Aye, the fact that he's now not. Yeah, that, like, they didn't know that at the time.
Listen, to be fair to Paul, I spoke about James Tavernier before the 7 o'clock news, and I said I'd be fascinated to see where James Tavernier signs next. I'll be fascinated to see what Eddie Howe's next job is, because for me, he did really well at Newcastle, but do we really think he's going to get one of the top six teams in England? You know, he's not going to get an Arsenal or a Man City or a Man United, I don't think. So does he look outside the Premier League?
Get the England job and Tuchel gets bombed.
He must be a contender for that. He would certainly be someone who would interest continental clubs, I would think. and he would certainly be someone who would interest Celtic.
Anyway, well, Paul, I'll allow you back on for the bragging rights if it happens. It feels a long way away to think about Celtic's manager for next season. You happy with the way things are ticking along at the moment?
Oh, 100%, absolutely. But I love Martin O'Neill anyway. My only point was just that obviously he, one or two health issues. We wish him all the best, absolutely. We want him to stay just in case it didn't happen. Do you know what I mean? I don't know if I'd be too comfortable with Sean Maloney at this point. But aye, it's a longer story anyway. So,
Paul, before you go, who plays in midfield against Lask on Wednesday night?
Who plays in midfield? You've got McGregor. Obviously, you've got to play Nygren.
Yeah.
The way he's scoring goals, you can't leave the guy out. Do you know what I mean? I don't think he does a lot in games. But I think this season he looks a lot better than he has done the last season. I thought Engels would come right onto a game, so it's a shame to lose him, but it's good money. However, I would probably stick in, maybe Oxlade-Chamberlain.
Well, he's suspended, that's the thing. He's suspended for both legs, yeah.
No, it's a bit of a kind of unknown, that one, to be fair, until the weekend.
To be honest, I'm a Hatate man. I like Hatate. I know he's not played, and maybe that's the wrong way to go because he hasn't played, and maybe he's going. But I really like Hatate. But maybe stick Bauer in there. But as long as you get McGregor and Nagyran in, I'm sure anyone of the two or three you could slot in there.
Paul, these two's previous comments means we're not really going, possibly not going to get an argument here. But they both felt the Celtic goal, the handball the other night, should have stood. I take it you go along with that on team lines, or was it one you got away with? What was your view on it?
Oh, absolutely, it was correct.
That's the way I thought that might end. But that's what you two said, it was the right decision as well. I don't know.
Bobby Madden doesn't think so.
I saw that. I was interested because then you're right, there's a great tool out now, this platform that UEFA have got, and it gives you all sorts of examples and all that kind of thing about, you know, what decisions should look like, what the guidance is. Does that change your view on the one at Tannadice at the weekend?
Well, I think we've seen a couple of examples last year. Obviously, not every incident is the exact same, but when it hits an arm and it falls in a teammate, and the teammate puts it in the back of the net. So I feel as if I've been used to a similar type scenario over the last couple of seasons. With the confusion that came up for me was the fact that the goal in the previous week for Falkirk gets disallowed, which I was surprised at the time. And then we see the different scenario the next week, that's where the kind of questions come from.
I think, as usual, Roger, I think I've still seen a little bit of kind of misunderstanding a little bit over the last couple of days since then. I think the key word that we should probably focus on is punishable. So that's what it needs to be. If Duran handballs it while he scores, doesn't matter what it is. Flick off his fingernail in front of his, you know, torso. When it's the player before, it needs to be punishable. So what does that mean? The test I always do in my own head, because I don't know, a little bit of entertainment, is would it be a penalty in the other box? Because that's what that is. That's now what you're asking. I know it can be a bit confusing when it's attacking and whatever, but when you talk punishable handball, that means whatever you've seen there, that incident, would you be comfortable? Hold on, let me finish. If you think Casper Hu's goal should have been ruled out the other night, you also think that exact incident would be a penalty to United in the other box. I guess it's a good way of judging it, I think, in your head.
Yeah, I'm not sure whether you've cleared the waters or muddied the waters, because Andy and I have said that goal should stand. Mm-hmm. It's hit who on the hand. Mm-hmm. It's not what you would deem as punishable. Yeah. And the ball falls to Duran and he scores a goal. Duran's not handled it, so it's fine. Mm-hmm. I actually think, I can't remember who the defender was, it went down with Casper Hu. I think if that defender handles the ball the way Casper Hu does, Celtic do get a penalty.
That's fine then, because I don't, but that's sort of, again, back to that subjectivity.
I actually think that the bar for punishable is set lower for defenders than it is for attackers. I think that.
So you think even if it's as he's fallen, you think a penalty would be given for that?
I think our referees give a penalty for that.
Andy?
I was actually trying to picture the scenario in my head, and it's hard to visualise it, but I mean, I potentially could see that type of penalty given.
That's fine then.
But listen, we don't know. That's the thing. I'm speculating regarding this, but I'm just imagining a defender sliding in. Well, Kizaridis, Celtic Park in the last game of the season.
Yeah,
it's probably pretty similar because his arm was there.
That's blocking a cross, isn't it?
Yeah, but again,
the one with who is even closer to the goal. Yeah. So you know, I think that would have given us a penalty. The one group of people who I think are probably feeling aggrieved most are the Falkirk fans.
Yeah,
because they had that goal ruled out Ben Parkinson's goal. Ben Parkinson didn't handle the ball. Dennis Melnick's came off the top of his shoulder, high up in the arm. It was deemed to be punishable. And
well, wouldn't it be if it was high up my shoulder, remember? But it actually looks like it was his elbow.
Well, whatever it was. I'm not sure why that's deemed to be punishable.
Let's not give producer John any more ammunition to complain.
This is his fives tonight. We always we're all marvel at what he wears when he goes to the fives. Whether it's the current Falkirk gear, the former Falkirk gear, the Falkirk away gear, the old Falkirk away gear.
I'm glad you care. Let's bring in John, who's on the other line. Not that one. John on the other line. How are you, John?
I'm great, thank you. I was just going to say, if one of my heroes, Mr. Roger, but I was going to say about Tuur Romans, I believe he'll be away before the transfer window, and it was a great debut with James Penrith, obviously, a great start, perfect debut, but I believe Tuur Romans, Danny Rowe signing, he's going to be Oski before this Brugier hanging about for him as well. I just want to know what you think about that. That's what I believe.
Can't bring Penrice in and then need another one, can you, by letting Romans go, or can you?
I said a few weeks ago it wouldn't have offended me if Rangers never brought in a left back, because I think Tuur Romans was the best they had at that moment in time, and I'm a big fan of young Ashton Scarry, so I would have been quite happy for him to be a backup and potentially get a run of games at some point this season. But when Tuur Romans gets injured like he did, and that is the one question mark you would give towards Tuur Romans at this moment in time, is his durability, because he came in January, had two injuries for January at the end of the season, and he's already picked up an injury to start this season. So Rangers then moved quickly, and I think they had to, by bringing in James Penrice. So if James Penrice is more durable than Tuur Romans, I don't mind Ashton Scarry being a backup, but I can't see Rangers parting ways with Tuur Romans unless it was a substantially more than what Rangers obviously paid for him in January.
And also Club Brugge dug in their heels with Hugo CK, who Rangers are trying to sign last week. I can't think that Rangers are going to allow Romans to go, leave him a left bank short, and not get CK to play on the other side.
Happy with Penrice's performance, I take it, though, John?
Absolutely outstanding yesterday, actually. Just that injection of pace and pride, just up there like Gazelle, you know, like a young Alan Hutton kind of thing, you know what I mean, except on the other side. But it was fantastic, and he got his goal, but he also had an assist as well, so you can't ask for any more than that.
A couple of assists. I always like it just generally when a player blows apart all this stuff that we always hear about, you know, needing time and needing to get up to match speed and needing to get their teammates and their tactics. Because, by the way, I'm sure it's completely valid. I'm not criticising all of that stuff. It's just nice when it doesn't have to be the case all the time.
Yeah, and one thing that I agree with John was his fitness levels didn't look in question at any point. I thought his energy levels in the tail end of the second half were absolutely magnificent, and I kind of likened it to when I watched Oliver Antman make his debut for Rangers last year. That Ibrox in the sense he was just in the door, right, 24 hours, hadn't trained, and then played his best game for Rangers throughout his full spell. So let's hope that James Penrice has many more performances like he did yesterday.
Very impressed with your interviewing technique on the side of the pitch yesterday, you know. Right. You've taken to this journalism lark quite well.
Final questions into
James Penrice.
And if I had to interview anyone, I was happy it was James Penrice after spending a bit of time with him over the course of the summer. So that's me trying to take a
I was going
to
say, because did you that, you had him in at your academy doing some sort of one-to-one training? Yep. So you are trying to take credit for that performance yesterday.
And we worked on back post finishing for an hour, and then look what happened. So I mean, it's no rocket science, Gordon.
Do you know what? Like 30 seconds of sincerity. I think the hardest bit when footballers go into the punditry bit and they are expected to be kind of interviewee, usually it exposes them, it shows them up. I thought he did do pretty well.
He did do pretty well, yeah. Yeah, I look forward to next week when he's asked to interview Vanya Dragojevic.
I was waiting for the wee daft things they do, like forget to put the mic in front of their mouth or forget to, you know, and even manage the swap over the player of the match award so you could shake hands and give it. Honestly, I thought you were I was impressed.
Very, very good.
Anyway, thank
you. So practice against doing 9 shows a week.
And if we could get more criticism of him, that last caller that was on earlier that slated him, I liked him. 01419511025. We'll speak to you next.
6 till 8 weeknights. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard. 0141 951 1025.
Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna are here. It's 01419511025. That's the number that you need. I was dreading any gloating Stenhouse Muir fans tonight. I know we don't get many in the phone, but I had the fear. So luckily Sebastian Pocognoli came on, took the headlines. We've done our bit in the refs. We've only had 20 minutes to go. Gary is going to be on the line in just a second.
Where do we think the manager of Stenhouse Muir is? Has he been seen?
I have never cared less, and I usually don't care that much. Not interested. Let's give these guys the teaser first though.
The full-time teaser with Arcaplan Glasgow. Planning permission and building warrant drawings for home extension, conversion or renovation.
Terry in Bowling has sent this in. I think these questions are great for you guys because you try and at least put a sort of analytical mind to them rather than just guessing every player that's ever played in the fixture. So Terry in Bowling says, can you name the last 8 players to score in consecutive Old Firm games? Who are the last 8 players to score in consecutive Old Firm games? Very topical because they've been drawn together in the Cup. Andy Halliday, what did you make of that when you saw the balls coming out?
Loved it, obviously.
Did you?
Yeah, I think it's obviously our best fixture in the calendar year, so you want to try and get as many as you possibly can. Who knows if Rangers get knocked out in the quarterfinals or Celtic get knocked out in the quarterfinals. Obviously, we had the horrendous scenes at the end of last season at Ibrox, so I don't think there'll be much chat in terms of full allocations.
Just quickly on that, Roger, and you'll be able to add more detail. I saw a lot of people sort of likening that, and I understand why, because it's a cup tie, but this is also the League Cup. So this would be an SPFL rule for tickets rather than the Scottish FA's rules surrounding the Scottish Cup. So it is actually a slightly different scenario anyway.
Different competition, different governing body, different rules and regulations. I'll be astonished if Celtic get the full Brimlin Road as they did in the Scottish Cup quarter-final. They may have had a chance, had things passed off without incident last March, but they didn't. The investigation is still underway. I think it's next Monday Rangers face their notice of complaint and Celtic will find out what happens with theirs as well. The hearing was last week. And then the league game the following week, I suspect Rangers will also get the smaller ticket allocation for Celtic Park.
Plenty of time to argue about ticket allocations. Just quickly on this teaser though, do you know who would be able to do this question easy?
Oh, producer Jay, right, he's the king of this.
I've seen it.
I'm keen to get the thoughts of you two because you are our finest quizzers. How impressed are you with producer Jay being able to recall every single Old Firm result and scorer since 1995 when he was born in 2002?
Yeah, amazing. That generally, I was extremely impressed, and you could tell that you tried to catch him out with fixtures that were really close together. He dealt it really well.
What amazes me more is he's got this great power of recall for these Old Firm games, but when he woke up on Saturday morning, he didn't know how many days of the week there were,
and how many drinks he had. Do you hear that?
The previous night, didn't remember where he lived.
He stayed in here Friday night and then did the show on Saturday.
Oh, did he?
It's a bit weird, isn't it?
I think it's been done in my estimation after the
Xbox. How would you fare on that? Because I feel like you're almost capable of this. But so where would you, if I just spouted a random date at you, you wouldn't be able to do the goal scorer and stuff, would you?
No.
If I gave you the context of the fixture.
Yeah, I think I'd be good. But I'm terrible with associating dates and times.
Right, anyway. Right, any to kick us off on that teaser quickly?
Chermiti.
Yep, Andy.
Aida.
Yeah, we'll leave it there. Let's bring in Gary first. Tommy's just joined him on the phone lines, but Gary was through first. Gary, take it away.
Evening, gents. How are we? Okay?
Yep. What's your main point tonight, Gary?
Well, just a wee quick one. Got a new job. So massive shout out to my boss, Kev and Tam. Enjoy your 4 days off.
This isn't the GBX, Gary. I thought he was going to say I've got a new job, so massive shout out to myself for getting the job.
You got a new boss, Gary, but you're congratulating them for their days off.
Yeah, four on, four off, mate. That's what it's all about.
I quite like the sound of that schedule.
Fair enough. Sounds
anyway,
good to me.
Right, what did you take away from the game yesterday, Gary?
The game yesterday was it was good. It was positive. It was like free flowing, like just going forward and stuff like that. My point is, Fernandes. I don't know if he should have been still on the park. Couple of challenges and stuff like that. I think to myself that he's. I don't know if somebody's had a word in his ear and said, "Listen, Tavernier's gone. You could be the next Rangers captain, and he's not even like vice captain. So he just looks like a total shadow of himself last season.
I mean, listen, I thought we would get Rangers fans, you know, finally the chance there, some positivity, a 5-1 win. And like Tommy did at the start, to be fair, but he's got concerns over Fernandez and thinks he could or, could or should have been sent off. Do you think it was a second yellow for the penalty?
I think he's very, very lucky. I think if I put myself in Manuel Fernandez's shoes and I dangle out a leg like that and I bring out an attacker as he's advancing in on goal, I'm almost expecting to be given a second yellow.
I think Raskin's covering.
I mean,
that's what it is now. It's the dogs of one, and then it's not a straight red because it's in the box. You've tried to get the ball.
And I know this isn't how it works, but I played with Issa Sule and I know how fast he is. So I don't know how much Raskin's going to get back and impact it. We've seen similar instances already this season.
So Oscar Priestman got booked at Hibs, didn't he, when he gave away the penalty?
Yeah, and I don't know how much there was in terms of a recovering defender there. But listen, it's not, again, to quote one of my favourites, doesn't offend me. I just think he's very lucky.
Yeah, I don't think he could have had any complaints. I said that was my howler of the week. I don't think he could have complained at all if he'd got a second yellow card for it. Clumsy challenge and sort of, you know, something, Gordon, kind of in keeping with a kind of lackadaisical start to the season by Manny Fernandez. I thought last season he was Rangers' best central defender. I think, as Andy said in the telly yesterday, he looks as if he thinks he's Rangers' best central defender and can kind of stroll through these games. And you know yourself, you can't stroll through these games. You know, St Mirren could have scored two or three yesterday.
Right, do you know who's lucky not to get the howler? Killian Phillips.
Oh yeah, good shoot.
Taking the penalty before the whistle was blown. It was almost a... You actually go back and you look at Pander's reaction.
You ever seen that, by the way?
No, I don't think I have. Because Pander's almost shocked as well that he takes it and he points straight away. But I had to retake it. And again, cardinal sin, you always go the same side. Always.
Think so.
Oh, you always go the same side in a retake.
What about the more wider point about Fernandez? Because look, this didn't even come close to costing Rangers yesterday. If Derek McInnes is listening, he would be thinking, for goodness sake, been battered on these phone lines for a couple of weeks. We've won 5-1, you know, we're through in the cup. There's more to worry about than Emmanuel Fernandez's deficiencies. But are they still there then for you? That's still one that you think?
Yeah, they are. Absolutely they are. And this comes off the bat. I'm a huge admirer of Emmanuel Fernandez and I think he's got all the attributes. I think his ceiling is immensely high and I think he could potentially make Rangers a lot of money. But he has such bad habits that just continually creep into his game when it comes to defensive aspects.
So it's his floor you're worried about and not his ceiling.
And we're talking about the penalty and the potential second yellow card. It's the exact same mistake for his first yellow card. So it's not even learning from game to game. It's learning from instant to instant in the game. And when he gets his first yellow card, he's in a 1v1 situation in the touchline. And all he has to do is try and delay, usher the attacker down the line and allow the covering defenders to come back in, and he commits and wipes him out and gets a yellow card. And for me, it's the exact same scenario for the penalty.
Thank you, Gary. That said, Tommy, it was a 5-1 win. You must have a bit of positivity for us.
That's what it is, I'll take it.
That's as positive as we get.
Well, it's early days, isn't it?
It sure is, that is true.
I know a lot of stuff that I'm not prepared to say on the radio. Anyway, what I was going to say, Andy, you spoke earlier on about Tavernier maybe coming back, and you spoke previously about it. As far as I am led to believe, three players last year, Butland, Tavernier and Suter, were involved in some sort of indiscipline towards Danny Rowe. They've got rid of two of them, and the third one has been told he won't play again for Rangers. Even though Derek McInnes wanted to play Suter, he's been told by Kavanagh he won't play again.
Oh, I mean, whether there is a specific incident or not, I take Tommy's word for it, you might know something we don't. It's not one that's become particularly public, but I think the actual sort of the outcomes, I think they are quite clear. Tavernier and Butland are no longer there, and even when Derek McInnes talks about we don't have any left-footed defenders in the building, well, you do. But it's John Suter, you know, and he's not. Oh, he's not left-footed.
Goodness,
is he? I can see you shaking your head. I knew there was one, but anyway, bemoaning lack of defenders, they could play him. There must be an issue there. That
And it makes it all the more surprising that John Souter signed a new contract not too long ago. It was obviously for the turn of the year where he signed that year extension. So you just felt as if it was time for John Souter to move on, it would have just naturally came with the expiry of his contract. The funny thing is, to tie it back to Emmanuel Fernandez, is I felt like Emmanuel Fernandez's best performance last year was alongside John Souter. So it was just that experienced defender that can almost navigate him, talk him through the game and help him in terms of his positional sense. So I still think Rangers are short in certain areas, and for me, I do think they need another central defender.
Listen, it's Tommy's theory, Roger, that he thinks that Derek McInnes would be quite happy to play John Souter, and Andrew Kavanagh doesn't want to. I think publicly Rangers would tell you they're all singing from the same hymn sheet, but these things do happen sometimes.
Of course they do, yeah, of course they do. And it doesn't take away from the fact that Rangers are still short in that area. If Souter and Nsiala are not being considered for first team duties, it really does only leave you with Fernandez and Macania. I think Macania started brightly in the games we've seen him so far, but if anything was to happen to either of them, you know, it's Dujon Sterling getting moved inside and McCrory to right back, and you know, there's a kind of it does cause ripples.
Must be happy with James Penrice's debut, Tommy.
Fantastic. In fact, that's what I was, when you were talking earlier about the Scotland team, I would like to see him giving all these young players a chance. He likes a Penrice, Finlay Curtis, or even Luke McCowan, guys that want to just attack and play football. I hate this boring party bus. Yeah. It doesn't work in international football.
I mean, this is the difficulty we're going to have, though, because it worked to get us there, obviously, to the tournaments, but then you need to take the next step. James Penrice is 27, so I wouldn't consider him young. Yeah. We also, for you know, James Penrice hasn't been overlooked, you know, unfairly. He's been behind Kieran Tierney and Andy Robertson and Josh Doig, and
Greg Taylor for a while.
And others. Luke McCowan's not young either. Tommy references him. We're all going to have nice ideas, Andy, about how that Scotland squad can be refreshed. But, you know, we still maybe need to pump the brakes a little bit on the notion that some of these guys can be transformational to our hopes of reaching the quarterfinals of major tournaments. That's a big ask.
Absolutely. And it's when I said that people are speculating the amount of change it could potentially be. I don't think there's going to be anywhere near as many as people expect. But what I will say is, there's always intrigue when a new Scotland squad's announced. I think there's an extra bit of intrigue when it's a brand new manager and you expect at least 3-4 changes.
Could
to
James
see who
Penrice
they are.
Though, because I mean, Josh Doig has been in, you know, sometimes. We sometimes maybe need to carry the third one, or as might be the case if Kieran Tierney or Andy Robertson has in it. You know, could Penrice be in the conversation? Is that next?
I think it could be in the conversation. Absolutely. He says, we know that Andy Robertson and Kieran Tierney will make it. I think Kieran Tierney's actually in his best form at the minute in time since he's came back to Celtic in the second spell. Andy Robertson's obviously the national team captain, so I think it'll be in the conversation. It's just whether they take an extra left back or not.
And also, maybe by then James Penrice has been back on the bench because Tuor Romans is playing every week for Rangers, Roger. We need to wait and see how that played out.
Listen, you never know. I was really impressed with him in his debut, you know, considering he's not a lot of football. He did really well. He got through the game really well, got his goal, a couple of assists, and, you know, helped lift Rangers out of what was a real slump after the Hibs and Jagiellonia home games.
Thank you very much to Tommy on the line. It's 01419511025. That is the answer, the number that you need. Sorry, let me just bring you up to speed on something else before we move on. We're nearly in the final part of the show, but you can still give us a call. But before that, the Cash for Kids Sports Challenge is back for 2026. So basically giving local sports clubs, Glasgow, Ayrshire, the west of Scotland, the chance to compete for a share of thousands of pounds in funding. Doesn't matter whether it's football, rugby, dance, grassroots sport. The challenge is just to create more opportunities for disadvantaged children. Now, every group keeps 100% of the money they raise and then benefit from expert fundraising tips from the Cash for Kids team. They can win top-up funding. There's various amounts of grants all the way up to £5,000. There's additional funding for groups that raise £2,000. So loads going on. Head to Clyde1.com/cashforkids to apply, and the applications close Monday, 7th September.
It's game on until 8. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
On the home stretch with Roger Hanna and Andy Halliday, we've neglected your teaser a bit, but I do think you will scoosh it. I mean, honestly, producer Jay's sitting there swinging back in his chair, just laughing at how MD could find any difficulty in this. Can you name the last eight players to score in consecutive Old Firm games? You've got Yusuf Chirmiti and Daizen Maeda.
James Tavernier.
No.
No?
Not in the last eight anyway, no.
Modi Omandi.
No.
Kyogo.
Yes.
Jota.
Yep.
Ida.
No.
Yang.
Nope.
O'Reilly.
Yes, we'll leave it there. You've got three to get. Last bit of praise for producer Jay. You got the ultimate seal of approval yesterday when I was at a second birthday party in a soft play. And
was he there?
And people didn't want to talk about Hugh Evans or Gordon DL or Andy Halliday, Roger Hanna. They wanted to discuss producer Jay's Rain Man routine. So he's made it to the kids' birthday thing, parties. I
mean, how long has he worked here?
2 years and he's never cracked a light.
Yeah, but before that he worked with me at the Scottish Sun and we didn't know that either.
Maybe. I think we test Roger on this.
Oh no, I wouldn't be good. No.
You couldn't do that, no, with the dates?
Oh no, absolutely not. I mean, when he starts going, I can remember the games, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't remember what one it was. You mentioned the two games that were very close together and he got the, you know, mixed up. I remember the games once he starts talking about them, but if you hit me with those kind of dates, God, no chance.
Are you looking up a game?
Yeah.
Oh my God, hurry up. We're nearly out of time.
This is for you though.
I won't get it.
Ah, you will. Scotland's first, Steve Clark's first Scotland game, scorers score.
I remember that. It was the Cyprus game.
Yeah.
1-2-1. Andy Robertson and then Ollie Burke winner. Ah, but I thought we were doing it for the old Celtic Rangers one. That's easy.
But you're an impressive. Well, you're not giving me time to do more.
Ah, but that's like, because you've said to me Steve Clark's first game. Like, there's the significance of that. If you just
by saying the date,
when Jay gets just a random Old Firm game in February 2009,
I could never do that.
Whatever.
Never.
Anyway, right, let's go back to the phones before we disappear this evening. There is still time to squeeze some more in if you're that way inclined. David's in Livingston. Hi, David.
How are we doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm not too bad, not too
good.
Bad.
What's your point tonight?
It's not really a point, it was merely just a wee question on Roger's new fridge, how it's doing.
Sorry?
It's been outstanding so far.
Is it? Well, me myself and my work colleague were the ones that delivered it.
Was that your work colleague, Claude?
Yeah.
That's funny you say that, because his last words to me on the way out the door were, remember, leave a nice Trustpilot review, and I actually got round to doing it this afternoon. So
did you get a wee 5-star review? Did you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's
did
get on
it's
here
there.
Andy Halliday,
we go.
So I mean, did you not ask for an autograph or anything, a selfie when you delivered it, David?
See, the thing is I never even realised until the night. We both looked at ourselves going, we know this name. And then the night I went, like, Clive on Super Scoreboard, I'm like, that's him.
That's the fridge guy.
That's the guy with the fridge.
So he's for your fridge, Roger.
You're for Whitburn, David, yes.
Aye.
See,
didn't know that it was your fridge till they switched on the live stream.
When I speak to guys for the East, they're less likely, you know, this is, you know, Clyde One, there's no, but when you see it in the TV, it opens us up to a whole new audience. But it's going well, that's David, right. Yeah, I'm pleased with it.
Right, that's great, mate. That was all. Just a wee quick.
What has happened here? Right, goodbye, David. Thank you, David, from Livingston, fridge deliverer extraordinaire. Seems you say it's going great. What do you mean? Just keeping the food cold.
I bumped into Sharon Osbourne's man. The guy said he went.
You're kidding me.
I can't believe I've just thought of this.
It was just on the during the break.
I bumped into him on Wednesday.
Right, so did you go to school with him?
No, he's about 58. And we knew that.
But well, obviously, he sounds about 70.
I bumped into him, and do you know what? See when he started talking to me. I never recognised the face, but straight away it was like the voice. And he's like, "Do you not recognise me?" I went, "No, but I recognise your voice." He's like, "I'm Sharon Osbourne's man." I said, "I went to school."
So you totally made
up. Obviously never. It's a laugh. Aye, some laugh. I slept on the couch for 2 weeks. What a laugh that was.
That's baffling, right?
Because I know.
That's magnificent.
Can't believe I just remember that.
It's quite a sophisticated, I'll call it sophisticated level of humour, because it didn't really sound like, do you know what I mean? Like, it didn't sound like it was a guy having a laugh, and it didn't really sound like an obvious thing to like wind you up about.
And the weirdest thing, I went for there to date, I like take my daughter, I walk around Botanics, and I bumped into a guy who had a dog called Halliday. was a Rottweiler. That, this has been the weirdest as last couple of hours.
Named after you. Aye,
you're joking.
Honestly,
that's
Rottweiler.
Fantastic.
He's like, how do you
see all you folk that have been tweeting in to say, how can he criticise Cammy Devlin? Cammy Devlin's a better player than he was. Is there any dogs out there called Devlin yet? That's what you've got to be asking. That's what you've got to be asking yourself.
It was the weirdest couple of hours, honestly. But that just shows you the power of the show, doesn't it?
One of the producers just said, "My, you're Ozzy Osbourne." I don't know if we, I think we just steer clear of that.
No,
for obvious reasons.
But he certainly did not go to school with me, this chap.
Listen, at least we've brought some closure to the full episode.
So now I want him to phone up next Monday
and admit it,
and
come clean
about our
Donald,
a little meat.
I'm glad, because it was funny at the time, but let's draw a line under it. And then this season, we don't need anyone on pretending that they went to school with you when they didn't.
Preferably, yep.
Yeah, anyway, right. I've got a couple of minutes. What have we not covered? Do you know, genuinely, right? Hands up. We've not done it with the sincerity it deserves. I don't care where the manager is. I hope he's having a miserable night. But Stenhouse Muir, Roger Hanna, must be the best time in the club's history, or recent history. They've got those recent promotions. They've knocked Motherwell out. It's the first time at this stage of the competition in over 50 years, and we've not really mentioned it enough, so I can handle it.
Yeah, and they've got a fantastic draw as well, home to Hearts. Marvin is a Scottish Cup winning Hibs great, so he'll love Hearts coming to Oakleview in the quarterfinals. It will make them a few quid. They would get a few quid for that gate yesterday. They'll get a few quid from the Hearts game.
15 of it from me.
Well, they'll get a few from the Hearts game. There'll be TV again, you would suspect. So at a time when some of their championship rivals are experiencing difficult times financially, if that helps Marvin get an extra couple of players in the door before the transfer window shuts, it could help Stenhouse Muir to their ultimate aim of staying in the championship.
We didn't, again, get the chance to test you on your howler of the week, Andy. You gave it to the Motherwell manager. You think you made too many changes, but can we have this both ways? Can we bleat on about not giving young players a chance? You, of all people, are very passionate about it. Motherwell are trying to pull off an unbelievable European shock and knock Freiburg out, and now we're going to moan when they rotate the team and play youngsters.
Yeah, but my issue comes with the amount of changes, 8 changes, and it's 5 academy graduates, but it's 4 making the first start of the season. And for me, if you're a club that's not won, when I was at Motherwell, I heard about 1981 numerous occasions, and you've not won a trophy for 35 years, and you have a chance where you've got, let's face it, a favourable draw to get into the quarterfinals, and then you see the draw they got, it would have been Fir Park again, and one of the old firms going to get knocked out. For me, I just don't know why you take that type of risk, because like Roger said, Marvin's had an unbelievable start to Stenhouse Muir journey. Sorry, they were unbeaten in the group stage. They've started with 4 points in the first 2 games. So for me, you don't take that next game lightly. So the amount of changes was far too much for me in terms of the 8, and then obviously 4 young boys making their first start for that season as well was too much.
I'd like to argue more about that, but we're almost out of time. How are you two faring on the teaser before we go? We're looking for the last 8 players to score in consecutive Old Firm games. So Chermiti, Maeda, O'Reilly, Kyogo, Jota, most of them are Celtic, obviously, in recent times.
Because I don't think he's back to back either.
No, I said him.
Oh, did you? I don't think he is.
Go on then.
What about Danilo?
Yes, I thought it was the hardest one.
The cup final and the 3-0.
I scrubbed that out because I didn't think that was back to back.
That is the hardest one for sure.
Abada?
No, the other two are pretty good bets for these fixtures in a way.
Edward.
No, and you know what? I take a bit of that back. He's not a prolific goal scorer, but he's a very prominent Celtic player.
Callum McGregor
did it, yep. In 2018, 4-0 and 5-0. Andy Halliday probably played. I'm sorry, you probably played in... Oh, do you know what? It was the same 2 fixtures. So,
Sinclair.
No, think of that team then.
Tom Rogic.
Tom Rogic. Thank you very much, Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna. Busy, busy Monday this. A Scotland manager to add into all the discussion from the weekend. The great thing about this show is it's always back in 22 hours' time. So 6 o'clock tomorrow. We will see you then, and enjoy the rest of your Monday.